morning at Psalm 142. We'll read a verse of Scripture this morning. The great shepherd himself, humanly speaking, David, and the men in the Bible that were shepherds, wrote words like this. Sometimes you read the Bible and you think, man, that seems like me. That feels like what I'm going through. And that's because the Bible is a book of reality. It's not a book on religion. It's a book of life. And sometimes life is bad. And sometimes you feel like that nobody in the world cares about you. I'll guarantee you there's people here this morning that feel like that. Ain't no doubt in my mind. So I want to preach this morning about that, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Where he said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me when thou knewest my path. Then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He said there in verse number 4, nobody cared. No man cared for my soul. Now I want to preach this morning on the subject, who cares? People everywhere today are saying, who cares? There are people last night, this town, you might know some of them. I witnessed to a young lady the other day, and she was on the side of the road, hitchhiking, going either way. I stopped and said, where are you going, ma'am? She said, no, it don't matter. I'll go whichever way you'll take me. Her eyes were, honest to goodness, I don't see how she could see. Her eyes were like matted together, and she was doing like this. And I tried to witness her. And there are girls like that and people like that all over this county this morning that think, ain't nobody cares about me. There's little children in this town, in this city, last night, went to bed, listening in the next room, a mom and daddy hollering and screaming and cursing and busting things and throwing things. And were told to shut up and go to bed. Happened last night in this town. And they were laying there in the bed thinking, does anybody in the world care about me? There's girls sitting in our schools tomorrow in junior high whose boyfriend broke up with them. Mama, them can't get along, thinking nobody cares. There's women whose husbands have left them for another woman. Or man, or problem, or sin, and are thinking nobody cares about me. There might be someone here this morning that thinks nobody cares. I want to tell you this morning the answer to that question. I got good news for y'all today. Somebody cares about you. I want to divide it up in a little group because the devil don't want you to know this. The devil knows if he can get you to believe in nobody cares, that you'll commit suicide. The devil will get you to believe in nobody cares so that you think, well, why should I care? Nobody else does. And just go live your life on drugs. Getting high. And you know it's a dead end street. I mean, you know it's going like this. But you just keep going down, 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 down. You know why? Because you don't realize somebody cares about you. You can have a better life. You don't have to live in going down the tube all your days of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a few things about it this morning. The first thing I want to say, the Father cared enough about you to love you. the Father in heaven. Do you know God loved you? Do you know God cares about you this morning? The Bible said God so loved the world. God so loved the world. I get tired of people saying, well, mean old God. If there's a God, why is all this bad? Listen, God loved you. God loves you. Don't blame all the bad stuff in this world on God. It ain't Him doing it. It's the devil. And it's our sins and our wickedness towards each other. God loved you. When the Bible said, for God so loved the world, you put your name in there where it says the world. I mean, for God so loved Danny. God loved me. Amen. God loves me. I'm telling you this morning, glory to God, He loves you. He loves you. The devil don't want you to know that. The world don't want you to know that. They want you to think God's mean. Listen, brother, God has hate for sin. God has a lot of attributes. But His love toward us is much greater than His hate toward sin. Thank God. The Bible don't say God is hate. The Bible says God is love. 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 If you was the only person in the world, He loved you. I mean, if you had no more Bible, if John 3:16 was the only Bible you had, and the rest of it got ripped out of your hands and burned, and you had a hold of John 3:16, there's enough right there in that verse to save the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, they asked this shepherd, and he's talking about the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. And the guy got up and he quoted it, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And somebody said, was that all? And he said, that's enough. The Lord is my shepherd, that's enough. If the Lord's your shepherd, that's enough. Guy said, the little kid got up one time and said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. But they had it wrong, but they had it right. If the Lord's your shepherd, that's all you want. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, He provided for your salvation. He cares about you. Maybe you're here this morning and you was drunk last night. Maybe you're here this morning and you thought, nobody cares. I want to tell you this morning, God cares about you. God cares about you. God cares about you. Number two, I want to say, Jesus cared enough to lay down His life. Now listen, you may think nobody cares about you, but you can go to school tomorrow, you can go home tonight, you can go home to work tomorrow and say, guess what? There's somebody that cared enough about me to lay their life down for me. And no greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He loved you enough to leave heaven. I mean, think about here's Jesus and God in heaven forever and ever and ever. And God so loved the world that He gave. And Jesus said, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down into that mess. I'm going to go down into that cesspool of sin. I'm going to let them beat me. And nobody took it from Him. He wasn't murdered like John F. Kennedy or one of them guys. He laid down His life willingly. He put His hands out like this. Listen, you want a love story? You want a love story? He puts His hands out like that. They put them big old spikes right there, and a man bangs that with a hammer, and bangs that with a hammer, and bang, till it comes out the other side here and goes into that wood. And he put one in that hand, he put one in that hand, and through both feet. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Jesus Christ loved you enough to lay down His life for you. If you're here this morning and you think nobody cares, Jesus, He cared enough, to lay down His life. He left heaven. No problem, no sickness, no sorrow, no death, nothing up there. And He came down here and went through all of those persecutions and lost His life for you. He lived a perfect life and never sinned because He cared for you. He laid down His life because He cared for you. He prayed for them that killed Him on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, the world, they come out there, you know, when I go to a Walmart or somewhere, they got all them magazines right there in front of you. And you try not to look, but you can't help it. Really? You think, I ain't reading that junk. I don't care what Lamar did before he blew his brains out on them drugs. I don't care what Chloe said to him. You can see, I do read them. And I'm sitting there saying, I don't want to know that junk. And I go,
And you know, Bruce turns himself into a woman, and this, that, and Nathan. And you see all that junk, and you know what they say? It's always love. Find true love. Find true love. So-and-so finds love. She dumped that and found this one. In 6 months, she'll dump that and find that one and think it's true love. And in another 6 months, she'll dump it. That's how country music people make a living. You know, you hear them come out like that. I never knew what love is until I found you. And you know, and you think, oh, they're finally in love. 6 months later, their next song says, you ain't what I thought you was. Yeah, ain't that right? You know what? They're looking for love in all the wrong places, brother. They ain't going to find it out there in the honky-tonk. You ain't going to find it. I'm telling you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid out his life for his friend. Next one you meet out there in the honky-tonk, say, you love me? No, don't meet one in the honky-tonk. Once you meet at church, bad enough. But I'll tell you something, brother. Just say, you willing to lay down your life for me? Well, you crazy. And they don't love you, they love himself. That's right, loves himself. I mean, Jesus cared like this. That a man, one time he had all these sheep, you know, sheep have a sheepfold. And they count them sheep. Them shepherds have a sheepfold. The guy had a big fence and a wall all the way around the sheepfold. And every day they go out there and graze, eat grass or whatever they eat, and weeds and sheep eat. And is out there, and at night he gets them into the sheepfold, and they all come in there. And when they come in one night, this guy was sitting there. He said, "This is just amazing." He said, "I just love to watch how you shepherds do this. All them sheep, you know them?" He said, "Yep, know them all by name. You know all them sheep, sure do." And they all went in there, and he said, "There's just one thing." He said, "This sheepfold don't have no door. You don't have a gate. You can't slide nothing. You don't close the gate and lock it. What keeps them in?" He said, "Here's what a lot of people don't know." He said, "Right here's the opening where the sheep go in at night." And he said, "I, the shepherd," he said, "I lay down right here with my rod and my staff." He said, "I lay down across this." He said, "I am the door." He said, "I'm the door." He said, "Reason this thing don't have a door, I'm the door." And he said, "There ain't no sheep going to get out, and there ain't no wolf going to get in." He said, "If a wolf gets in, I run him off. If I keep the sheep in," he said, "I am the door." Now, you can't help but think of Jesus when he stood there that day and he said, "I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in." Listen, people. Listen. He won't let me out where I get hurt, and he won't let the wolf get to me. I'm telling you, that's caring. Don't you ever think nobody don't care about you. Jesus cares about you. Go to school tomorrow, young people, and stand up and say, "Glory to God, I'm special. Jesus loves me. He cares about me." I want to say I'm glad that He does. Number three, the Holy Spirit cares about you. He's the third person of the Trinity. He cares enough to convict you. He cares enough to call you. He cares enough to pull you in and draw and deal with you about your sins. And did you know you would not be here today if the Holy Spirit hadn't put a little something in your heart and nudged you to come? Everybody in here this morning, I mean, you could have laid in bed this morning and slept. You could have went out in the woods and looked at the leaves. You could have just took the day off, but there was something pulling you. Somebody pulling. You know who that was? The Holy Spirit. He loves you today. He draws you. I'll never forget that night I got saved up there at Nebo Baptist Church. I was 18 years old. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know God. I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. And that night, somebody talked to me. Somebody talked to me. The preacher hadn't even preached yet. There's just a bunch of people up singing, and they sung, and boy, somebody was talking to me. I'm telling you. And this girl sitting in front of me, she turned around and she said, "Danny, why don't you go get saved?" And Lordy mercy, I was about to die. I thought I was going to blow up. I thought, man, if I ever get out of here, I ain't never doing this again. And something was pulling on me. Somebody was talking to me. You know who that was? That was the Holy Spirit of God. He loves you enough to care about you. But let me say number four this morning. The church cares about you. The church cares enough about you to pay the bills and keep the lights on and the doors open so you can come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we put this building here? So, because we care about souls. Now look, people, We could all sit at home this morning and gather our families around and read the Bible and pray and worship God and still go to heaven when we die. You don't go to heaven because you come in a building like this. You know why we do this? Because the church cares about you. That's why we do it. That's what paid for them lights and this, make it comfortable in this wood up here and that carpet on the floor and the pavement and the parking lot out there. The church cares about you. I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I go to a church that cares about people. Our church has a heart. We do. We have a heart. We're not perfect, but we've got a heart for people. Do you realize this morning, those buses that you see sitting out there this morning, our church, the people sitting in here this morning, spend literally thousands, I think maybe close to $20,000 last year running them buses. Them buses don't bring money in here. Them little kids don't come in and bring money. They're our liability. They're not an asset. And brother, we had bus workers yesterday morning in the rain. In the rain here early yesterday morning, out knocking on this door. Knocking on that door. Will you come to church? Will you come to church? Let me show you something. Most, about two-thirds of them back in the junior church. How many of you people this morning come on a bus, or because of a bus? Would you stand up right now? Just stand up real big right now. There's people all over here this morning. All over. And all the kids are back yonder. Thank you. You can be seated. We probably had 125 here today. That just come on buses. You know what? You know what that shows? That shows the church cares about you. All these people out here talking about these churches and these church people and always somebody smart aleck trying to throw off on preachers in the church. Ask them how much money they've spent helping little boys and girls and telling them about Jesus and talking to them and going and picking them up on Sunday and buying them pizza and then taking them home and dropping them off. I'm telling you, the church cares. Church cares about you. I don't know any other group in around the county that reaches out to more people. I'll guarantee you, this church yesterday knocked on more doors to help more people yesterday than any other organization in this county. Guarantee it. The church cares about you. Amen. People got up yesterday morning. People got up this morning. They were here at 7:30 this morning. While y'all didn't even know where you were. Amen. You know why? Because they care. Missionaries. I'll never forget reading the story of David Livingston. And everybody here should be acquainted with David Livingston. If you went to the right kind of school, you know who he is. He was a missionary to South Africa. And they said that literally God used David Livingston to open the heart of Africa to trade, to missions, and to mission work. And to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally, David Livingston, stood in Africa and didn't see his wife and children for 3 years, where he would not be acquainted with them. Or it wasn't like nowadays where you had everybody got a cell phone, you fly home twice a year and stuff like that. They couldn't. He'd ride a ship and then fly back to Glasgow, where he come from. And David Livingston was in Africa. And you've heard me tell it, he saw a lion, a African lion came out and nearly ripped his left arm off. I mean literally tore his arm nearly off. He had learned how to shoot his gun left-handed like that because he couldn't have no use of that left arm. And he stayed right there preaching to the people in Africa. And he could have went home. He could have just made a living and raised his family and still went to heaven. You know why he did it? The man cared. The man cared. That's why we run the buses. We care about you. God knows my heart. We joke with them. We cut up with them. But I care about those kids. I think, what if that was one of mine? God loves them as much as He loves my kids or your kids. We ought to care about people. A church that don't care about little kids and lost people that has no right to call itself a church. It's a social club. David Livingston went back and he finally saw his wife and she said, "I can't even tell you the bad news for the joy that I have of seeing your face." He finally went back to Africa and died. And as his request, they cut his heart, literally, out of his body and buried it in Africa and put his body on that boat and shipped it back to Glasgow, where they buried it at his funeral. His heart, somewhere today, was buried in Africa. You know why? Because he cared. Man cared. There's a great preacher in this country called C.T. Studd, and a study from England, actually. And you, if you know anything about church history, you know about these people. If you don't, you really don't have a good education. And C.T. Studd was an athlete in England. And he played cricket, a popular sport in England. And he was a professional. He had money. And he had anything he wanted in the country of England, and got saved and gave it all up and gave everything he had away and went to China to be a missionary. Man cared. And what gave away his fortune, later went to Africa, and brother, he could have had anything he wanted. You know, a lot of times God calls people like that could have anything they want in this world, and God uses them to reach souls, to show people that somebody cares about you. Then let me say, number five, did you know people in heaven care about you? The Bible said in Hebrews 12:1, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, a lot of different beliefs on that scripture. I want to believe that the people in heaven are up in the grandstands this morning cheering us on. I don't know how God keeps the from seeing the bad and all that. I don't know, but God's able to do that if He so chooses to do it that way. And brother, I believe the people in heaven. I can't prove this, but I think I'm right. I believe his old grandma prayed for her boy for 30 and 40 years and died with a broken heart. And she's been in heaven 10 years and her boy gets saved down the revival meeting. That somebody goes up and says, guess what, Granny? Your prayers were not in vain. The old boy got saved down there. And grandma's rejoicing in heaven. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. It don't say the angels are the one rejoicing. It said there's rejoicing in their presence. Now, who's that? It doesn't say it's God. It doesn't say it's angels. Who's up there besides God and angels? Them old saints of God. And they're rejoicing every time somebody gets saved. Somebody announces, ladies and gentlemen, down in Morgan, North Carolina, and November the 8th or whatever this is, ladies and gentlemen, so-and-so just got saved. The people in heaven care about you this morning. I like to hear that old song that said it made news in heaven when I got saved. They didn't put it in the paper. Nobody come on TV and said, all right, folks, Danny Castle got saved. Well, I'm telling you up there, buddy, it hit the headlines. Amen. And that's all that matters anyway. When I get to heaven, I want to look and say, Lord, what was it like that day I got saved? And Lord said, put it on there, y'all. Watch it in 3D. Let him go back. I mean, we ain't in no hurry. We got forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You can sit down and talk a while, million years. I don't know if I can do that. I ain't going to sit down no million years. Maybe the Lord will just let me run around heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know. That's what I want to do. Lord of God, turn flips, jump up and down. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the people in heaven care about you. But let me say also this morning, people in hell care about you. You say, oh, preacher, you're crazy. No, wait a minute. I got scripture for that. There's a story in Luke 16, the only personal story we know of a man in hell in the Bible. Luke 16, the rich man had everything a person could want, but left God out of his life. The poor man, Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he is poor, and the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. That ain't what determines it. The poor man was saved and the rich man was not saved. But he begged and begged for a drop of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The Bible said they both died. All died. Everybody died. I preached a funeral down there yesterday, Miss Desi's mother, and I told them everybody dies. Everybody died. And so the rich man died. He was buried. Lazarus died, he was buried. And the Bible said that boy was in hell. Think about it. He's in hell down there and he's screaming. He said, Father Abraham, Father Abraham. They were in Abraham's bosom. In the Old Testament, hell was in two compartments. Abraham's bosom and fire, the burning. So when a person died that was saved, they went to Abraham's bosom. A person died that was lost, they went to hell where the fire is. And they could actually go fixed. He could actually see into Abraham's bosom. When Jesus rose from the dead, He brought them people up, out. Now the reason they had to stay there, they couldn't get in God's presence until that blood was shed for their sin. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament covered their sin and hid them and kept them out of hell. But brother, they couldn't go into the presence of God with the blood of bulls and goats. Son, it had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. And brother, when He took that blood down there, He said, all right, let's go. He emptied out paradise, took it on back to heaven with Him. And that's another Bible study. But the Bible said, oh, the rich man over there, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he just put his finger in it like water like that and cool my tongue. He said, if I could just have one drop of water on my tongue. That's what they're screaming for in hell this morning. One drop of water on their tongue. Hey, the devil don't care about you. You know, there's people think the devil cares about them. I talked to them. I talked to them. Yeah, hell, Satan. Oh, you're crazy, brother. He's deceiving you. He's lying to you. They showed me some of the comments. The message I preach here are all over YouTube. I mean, unbelievable. I had no idea how them things. People say, boy, I appreciate you. Somebody called me from California last night and said, we sure do thank you for putting your sermons on YouTube. I said, you're welcome. I said, I don't know how to put nothing on YouTube. I have no idea. Don't want to know. Don't tell me. But somebody does. And they said, we thank you. We listen to them all the time. Well, and somebody put on there, this guy's crazy. Hell, Satan. The devil's mind. You wouldn't believe the comments. You know what? The devil don't care about them people. They're going to burn in hell while he lights at them. The rich man looked over there and he said, hey, if I can't get out, will you send him to my father's house? He said, I've got five brothers. And he said, I know me and my brothers used to fight and argue and everything, but God, I don't want them to come here. God, don't let them come here. Let him go talk to my brothers. Let him go talk to my brothers. I don't want my brothers here. I don't want my brother. Listen, in hell this morning, they're hoping you'll get saved today. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, they're hoping you'll get saved. They care about you. They care about you. I close this morning with asking you this. Care? Do you care enough to come? A man said one time, what I got to do to go to hell, preacher? And the preacher said, nothing. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. You got to come to Jesus to go to heaven, though. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. You're born headed that way. You're born wrong. You're born in sin. You're going that way. You don't have to do one thing. You're just floating down the river and over the cliff. You have to come to Jesus, though, to get saved and go to heaven. You understand that? God put this on my heart because there's somebody in this church this morning. You're sitting in here right now, and deep down inside, you don't know if you're saved or not, or you know you're not, or you got strong doubts. Listen, do you care enough? Do you care enough to come and make it right? Do you care enough? Do you care? God cares. Jesus cares. Holy Ghost cares. Church cares. People in heaven care. People in hell care. Do you care? I'm telling you. I said a man was crossing a pastor years ago. He's walking out there late one evening. Weeds all over the place. He's out in the country. And there was an abandoned well there and had some old rotten boards on that oak covering over that well. And when he stepped on them, they broke and he went down in that well. When he went down in that well, the water was freezing cold, and it had limestone rocks that they had lined it with, stones sticking out, and he grabbed on some of them, put his foot on the side like that, on some of them, and his hole in water is up to here. And he began to scream. And it started getting dark, and he screamed, help! Help! And nobody could hear him.
he screamed and cried over and over. It got dark in a little bit. He could see a faint little gleam of light from a star in the sky, just barely shining down to him. His voice got hoarse. His hands were numb from holding on to them rocks. His feet were freezing. That stagnated cold water. He soon would die. He'd slipping. He was slipping. He was going. He's going down, brother. Dying. And he said, "Help! Help!" And finally, somebody come by and heard his cry. And he heard that cry. A man come over there and went and got some help. And they lowered a rope down in there. It's a true story. Pull that fella out. Lowered that rope. He come out of darkness in the light. Buddy, somebody cared enough to pull him out. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Quicker than that right there, if you'll call help, the Lord will touch you and save you here this morning. You're in sin. You're in darkness. You've slipped. You're going down. Your life is over almost. Some of you may not have another week to live. This may be your last chance. Call on Him, brother. Call on Him. He'll grab you just like that. Do you care? You say, ain't nobody cares about me. I don't even care about myself. I'm telling you, God cares about you. We care about you. You sorry good for nothing ex-boyfriend might not care. You sorry people that you work with that just want to take advantage of you might not care. But God cares about you. And Jesus cares. The Holy Ghost cares. And we care. I care. I'm not up here for exercise. I'm preaching to you because I care about you. I care about you. I want you to stand. Bow your head for prayer, please. Everyone standing? Everyone standing? Every head bowed? Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment.